This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. And now you can try a bottle yourself, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is myfavoriteoliveoil.com. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we're talking about the shoulder, specifically an entity called frozen shoulder, which is very prevalent, affects a lot of folks, young, middle-aged, and old, and can be quite debilitating. We're talking to Dr. Arkady Lipnitsky. He's a movement specialist and expert in treating chronic conditions here in New York City at a place called Rebalance NYC. They got a website at rebalancenyc.com. Dr. Lipnitsky, what happens when you go to a conventional doctor for this? It's like a sports medicine doctor.
We discussed quite a bit of primary frozen shoulder. I think we should just say a few words about secondary frozen shoulder.
Okay.
Because there's other people that get this condition. Or something similar to this condition. Secondary frozen shoulder, it's meaning secondary to something else.
Okay.
It can be secondary to breast cancer. It can be secondary to a fracture.
Why breast cancer? Because there's a pulling after the surgery?
And also lymphatic.
Radiation treatments?
Radiation treatment, as well as the removal of lymph nodes.
Okay.
Which will limit some circulation as well.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Fractures.
Oh, yeah.
Immobilized.
I had a broken shoulder, and it's no picnic, but it got better.
Right. So, and that's something that gets better as soon as you start moving. Mm-hmm. So the scarring or immobility that you get developed as a secondary reaction to a fracture, for example, is normal because any joint requires lubrication. It's a mechanical part of our body, and the lubrication comes from movement. You know, if we don't move, we don't develop hyaluronic acid and other lubricating solutions within a joint capsule. So by not moving the joint and having it in a cast or immobilized for an extended period of time, it's expected for that capsule to be tight. It's expected the capsule to be dried. It's not an inflammatory condition that gets stimulated by something completely different, by your hormonal problems or your autoimmune problems. And that's what kind of the root of the difficulty behind the frozen shoulder. Because if you don't target the root of the problem, if you don't get to the cause, the true cause, as soon as you fix one frozen shoulder, somebody comes back with a second frozen shoulder.
So it's not one size fits all. You have to individualize the treatment.
Absolutely, but so is the diagnostic procedures. Mm-hmm. So going back to your original question, what do we do?
What I mean to say is how might your approach differ from the approach that's conventional? Because to me, you get a frozen shoulder, they say, well, you get a frozen shoulder, go for physical therapy, right?
Correct.
Regular, or maybe they give you a steroid shot. Is that something that's
probably one of the first things you will expect from an orthopedic specialist.
I want a shot because it has the aura of being very effective. You know, it's like get rid of the inflammation, fix it, you know, right away.
Correct. We are associating any inflamed joint with acute inflammatory process mm-hmm. that theoretically should be treated by a fast-acting, strong anti-inflammatory agent like corticosteroid. Mm-hmm. Whether it's oral or injectable mm-hmm. form, probably injectable works better on the spot. Mm-hmm. But there's a problem. The problem that if it's an inflammatory condition that caused by an injury, a sprain, a strain, or even post fracture, frozen shoulder, and you start moving things, and little things start tearing apart. The corticosteroid will give you a very fast, very short-lasting, but fast relief of inflammation, probably pain as well. The problem that was the primary frozen shoulders, because we, like I said before, we have a strong linkage to an autoimmune or hormonal imbalance, we introduce new foreign hormone into the body that's already very disturbed by a hormonal imbalance. So you can only imagine that nothing great can come up.
Is it true that too many shots will weaken the tissue there? And
well, we have a protein bond, right, which bonds together the muscles and tendons and ligaments. And one of the actions of corticosteroid actually eats away the protein bond. That's, by the way, if you ever seeing an unsuccessful injection gets under the skin, we see almost like an indentation.
Like a hole. Like an
indentation and discoloration.
Ooh.
So it's that's exactly what happens. It just eats away that piece of
I sometimes refer to this, or lately I've been referring to this, as the Kevin Durant syndrome. If you follow basketball, Kevin Durant was in the NBA Finals. He was playing for Golden State, and he had an injury. And it was like, oh, my God, you know, our star player, one of our star players is out. So they tanked him up with painkillers, and they gave him some steroid injections, and they sent him back out. And it was like, great, he's like back out. It was like heroic, and he played like his played a brilliant couple of quarters. And then he came down hard on a rebound, and he ruptured his Achilles tendon.
Completely.
Because he was oblivious to the pain. He should have obeyed the signals of the pain. It's kind of like, it's almost cruel and unusual punishments, like taking a prize, you know, thoroughbred, tanking up on medications and sending him out to race.
And for professionals, it might be okay. He knew what he's risking.
Right.
But for common folks, I don't think the risk really calls for this.
Yeah.
Now, I want to go back to the difference, and the difference should be really in a completely different diagnostic workup. Because not getting to the bottom of the problem will only prolong the problem, or a person will come back with the opposite frozen shoulder. Or even if it's not frozen shoulder, they're going to have something else brewing inside their bodies, because it's a general condition that has nothing to do with really shoulder. Shoulder is just an aftershock, a side effect. The problem is, and we often depict early diabetic changes, often thyroid changes that people had no knowledge about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think,
but they say long term, I'm not here for that. I'm here for my shoulder. Just leave me alone. I don't want to know about that.
Well, some of them do, but once they really understand that, you just save them from years of, you know, problems with something else and, dealing with other issues, then I think they appreciate it in that sense.
But
understanding, and you know that, you know, from what you do, and I love what you do with people with especially early changes in hormonal changes in diabetes and thyroid, we can actually reverse a lot of these problems by changing what they eat and what they don't eat, and then supplementing them the right way to reverse a lot of these early conditions. So not doing this is also injustice to a patient. So, but doing it at the same time, you actually stopping the inflammatory process from its base, which is long term has a completely different weight of benefits. Traditional physical therapy often has some good results. And when I say traditional, it's all about mobility. You know, the traditional physical therapy calls for restoring range of motion, working through the pain to gain that flexibility, and maybe tearing some scar tissue, and giving a supportive exercises to retrain some of the muscles that are inactive or muscles that are compensating.
So there's homework.
There's a lot of homework.
Okay.
With either program, there's a lot of homework.
So they can't just come in and say, "Fix me, doc. I want a quick fix." I mean, you can. You were able to do it for that woman who got her relief in 10 days, but there's going to be some take home assignments for her, right?
No matter how fast they progress, there's always going to be a longer-term homework to do. There's not a miracle. They don't come with a magic wand to your office, and you don't have one either. We have a program that targets every scenario that your shoulder might be going through, from your base problem, which can be autoimmune or hormonal or something else causing inflammation, to inactivity of the muscles, to hyperactivity or overactivity of the muscles, to scar tissue and fibrosis, meaning scarring of the capsule itself, to deep trigger points, and so on and so forth. So, again, from my experience, the people that do not have significant benefits with different treatments that they tried and went through, the explanation is very simple. They did not follow a program. They did not follow a protocol that will target multiple problems that the shoulder goes through and multiple reasons why those problems are occurring.
Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and as a listener of Intelligent Medicine, you can try a bottle of their finest artisanal olive oil, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. I've been enjoying these harvest fresh olive oils for years. They are far and away the brightest, most lively, and flavorful olive oils I've ever tasted. Their antioxidants and polyphenols are off the charts because they're fresh from the harvest. They make store-bought olive oils taste dull and flat by comparison. Taste for yourself. Check out this generous trial offer and get your $39 bottle for a buck with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com.
Part of your program is based on something called trigenics, which is, I guess, is a term that you coined. Or
No. It's actually very effective, or very well known at this point technique.
Oh, it's a paradigm.
It's a technique.
Okay.
Trigenics was developed by a physician in Canada who's been dealing with particular frozen shoulder as well, but some other conditions as well. And he found a very interesting way to, and you know, coming from manual therapy background myself, we didn't mention it, but I have a background as a chiropractor. Before that, I was a massage therapist. After that, I became a diplomate in rehabilitation sport medicine. And like you said, for many years, been dealing with functional optimization of movement and performances. Now, trigenics was fascinating to me to learn because of how quick and effective this particular manual therapy technique to disengage or almost shut down the hyperactive muscle that overpowers everything else. And on the other side, re-engage or almost like turn on, like with a little key, turn on the muscles that are not working and are disengaged. And I'm very surprised to learn that the very, very few physicians, and yes, it's hard manual treatment. It's, on a physician, it's not easy, but very few physicians practice it for now. And I find it's hands-on. It's not massage and it's not stretches. It's something completely different. It's not easy. It's not easy to learn, but once you learn and practice, it becomes kind of second nature. Extremely, extremely effective, not only for frozen shoulder, but in particular frozen shoulder, but also for chronic conditions, any chronic conditions, entrapment syndromes, runner's knees, tendonitis of Achilles that you described earlier, piriformis syndromes, and so on and so forth. So
that's a lot of, that's the proverbial pain in the butt.
Piriformis syndrome. Yeah. Correct. So yeah, extremely effective technique. Again, practice by itself, I don't think it has as a great effect as combining with many other effective techniques that we put in the program. But remobilizing the spine and remobilizing other joints around the shoulder, extremely important. I love shockwave, and I've been talking about shockwave in other podcasts with you as well. Extracorporeal shockwave is a great tool developed in Germany about 10 years ago or so. Originally to break kidney stones altogether, mm-hmm. but now widely used throughout Europe and mm-hmm. now more and more in the United States.
What is it? It's like a sonar.
It's almost no. It's a pneumatic. It's a pneumatic shock. It's almost like a jackhammer and a handheld jackhammer. It creates a destruction of scar tissue. That wave of the shock creates a destruction of the scar tissue, almost like breaking, disintegrating a scar tissue that can be developed in around any tendon or muscles or joint, but especially
which restores
the
blood
shoulder.
Flow and so on.
That's exactly what it does. The secondary effect of shockwave is the regeneration of the cell. Mm-hmm. Especially blood vessels. Mm. So it starts regenerating. By the way, one of our colleagues here uses it for benign prostatic hypertrophy.
Oh.
Yep. By regenerating the blood supply to a prostate.
Wow. Very innovative.
It's extremely effective.
Wow. So that's a part of the body that I would not want a jackhammer to be applied to, but I guess it's safe when you do it.
Or urologist in 30 years experience does, right. I think it's pretty
But that's interesting because it could be that the prostate becomes fibrotic and there's poor circulation and that's a vicious cycle and it kind of, that's an interesting, I got to talk to that guy.
Yeah, absolutely, but I was very thrilled to learn
that's
that.
Another problem, this is a complete segue, but chronic prostatitis is a real problem in medicine. It's one of those wastebasket areas where people just don't get better. But back to this, to shoulders and joints. So shockwave therapy. Also, I've noticed you use needles sometimes for this.
Dry needling.
But it's not acupuncture. It's different.
Absolutely different. It's an orthopedic technique. Mm-hmm. It's done primarily to target a very deep trigger points. That's what we call trigger point.
I have a relative in Belgium who's studying that. She's a physical therapist. She's studying dry needling.
It's getting popularity here in the United States more and more. In Europe, it's been popular for years. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, it was developed, I believe, in like 50s by orthopedic physicians who did not want to inject solutions like steroids into the scarring or fibrotic area.
But long-term destructive. Long-term, there's a price you pay for that.
So they would use a mechanism of piercing the trigger point or scar tissue with the needle by breaking it as well as shutting down that hypertonicity or spasm of the muscle. Mm-hmm. So extremely very effective on a lot of conditions, tennis elbows and shoulders and knees and hips. But again, for the frozen shoulder, by attracting, there's a second reaction to that dry needling is your body will often forget to fight an inflammation or fight the condition when it got used to it. So chronicity also carries inactivity.
Okay.
By introducing a foreign object like a needle into the problem area, you're also stimulating body's response and reaction into that area.
Okay.
So the blood supply starts coming in, carrying a lot of anti-inflammatories and pain chemicals and whatever your body has to fight the foreign object. Mm. So you fool the body a little bit, but it works long term. Works really well. And yes, as a matter of fact, all the listed procedures again, I think important because each one of them targets something different or in a different way. So by introducing them together simultaneously in a treatment protocol, I think you get significantly better results.
You also use a couple of other things, according to your ebook, cold laser and iontophoresis. And I haven't heard that word in a long time. It means applying substances with an electrical current to get them to be absorbed better.
It's an old physical therapy technique that used less and less now. But again, it's a very effective way to bring down the inflammation. Mm-hmm. You can iontophorese pretty much any.
What do you put into there? Natural compounds or medications?
Well, it's a choice of a physician. Sometimes you want to put something if it's freely inflamed, some anti-inflammatories, and it can be some of corticosteroids. I try not to use them, but
do you, like heal remedies and things like that?
There are homeopathic remedies, mm-hmm. like you just mentioned, the company Heal produces very good remedies.
Arnica.
Zeal, Tramiel. Mm-hmm. So excellent products to bring down the inflammation, mm-hmm. especially on more topical areas.
When you use iodophoresis, it's better than just smearing it on the surface, you know, like...
You actually use the current, electrical current, to drive it in.
Yeah, that's cool.
So again... We're not sure how deep it goes. We know it's not super deep.
Right.
But when you're trying to affect something more peripheral, like bursa, mm-hmm. like bursitis, often we get it. Or
that's more on the outside. So.
Right. Or inflamed like ligaments that hold, mm-hmm. let's say, a shoulder blade against the collarbone. Mm-hmm. Right. So very effective, simple, and long-term not damaging. So all this, again, it's in the ebook. I think it would be interesting to read.
You mentioned also another gadget that uses cold laser. Again, that's a European technique, popular in Europe, not so much over here, although some progressive practitioners are using cold lasers. Not burning. Obviously, I mean, we can use lasers to burn away things, but this is to stimulate blood flow again?
To stimulate blood flow. Most of the techniques are done to either break down the scar tissue or stimulate blood flow. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, in terms of manual techniques, it's all about re-engaging the muscle into activity or shutting down the muscle from hyperactivity or too much activity. And we always try to combine it with some anti-inflammatory agents that we can introduce to the body, whether it's through the IV, and we have a lot of different intravenous drips that we offer, to bring down the inflammation or stimulate body's natural reaction against the inflammation.
And magnesium is helpful for spasms sometimes too.
And vitamin C is excellent for collagen formation. Right. There's a whole cocktails that being mixed and introduced. And that's not done every single visit or, you know, that depends on sometimes on blood work and sometimes on general patient's condition. And of course the nutritional changes and supplementation, which absolutely essential.
That's what I do a lot, but without the benefit of the biomechanical treatments that you offer, which, you know, some of the things that you list in the ebook, like Boswellia, okay, anti-inflammatory, and celery extract, which has anti-inflammatory properties. So these are useful. You use fish oil, curcumin, things like that, presumably as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If you just give those with to a person with frozen shoulder, they're not going to make a lot of progress. I mean, that's been my experience, unfortunately. They need the mechanical, physical interventions to get better.
Right. Well, supplements in this case is supportive treatment. At the same time, we always rely on your expertise and some of the other colleagues that can address the underlying cause. And like I said before a couple of times, unless we get that under control, unless we change the dynamic of that person's hormonal shift or autoimmune response to whatever is happening in the body, we will not get too far, because even if we get the reduction of pain and regaining of the movement, we're risking the fact that they're going to come back with either opposite shoulder.
We call this whack-a-mole syndrome. You know, you get like one thing and then another thing comes up. You know,
correct.
If you don't want to address underlying causes, that's
now there are more aggressive ways to address, and again, occasionally. Maybe because we're so successful with the program that we offer, just regular program that we offer for frozen shoulder. For us, it's occasionally, but for other practitioners, then it's normal to offer that. For example, like MUA, manipulation anesthesia. The person gets anesthetized, usually it's like propofol. Conscious sedation,
so
right? They fall
it's
asleep.
It's an adjustment that would be too painful to endure if you weren't under anesthesia.
Right. It's not just an adjustment. It's a full re-tearing of the scar tissue, mm-hmm. and full mobilization of the shoulder. And honestly, first time I ever did it, it's probably 15 years ago.
You were horrified.
I was in Texas taking the course specifically on manipulation and anesthesia. And the guy was like a guru in shoulders and knees. And with such an ease, he just yanked the shoulder. I thought he's going to rip it out of the shoulder. So and he said, don't worry, everything's good. So, yes, it's not done unless you completely diagnose that there's no tears.
Right, last resort.
And there's nothing that you can tear further or, you know, the integrity of the muscles is absolutely fine. Mm-hmm. But yes, as a last resort, some people are very defensive, not letting you really get into it, even though we utilize so many different techniques, it's still a problem.
I want to close on a note of hope for people with frozen shoulder, because I think a lot of people suffer and it just gets worse and they're stuck. What would you say is the success rate in terms of treating this if addressed, you know, relatively soon?
Well, relatively soon can be within a month or can be within a year.
Yeah.
Because we have different stages, and like first stage can last 6 to 8 months.
5-10 years, you know, but where they...
Well, a good news, like I said, it's self-resolving problem in, I think, 85% of the cases.
Okay.
Well, we now want to be 15%, but still, 85%, if we wait long enough and suffer long enough, it's going to self-resolve. Mm-hmm. Not it's a good thing to wait, but I guess it's a positive thing. On the even more positive note, our usual treatment length is about 10 treatments. That's a very, very safe standard to say that within 10 treatments, and usually it happens significantly earlier, we A, regain full mobility, B, we reduce practically to none the pain level, and we introduce a stabilizing and progressive exercises that allows the patient to restore to 100%
so they don't fall back.
Yep. In the near future.
Yep.
So yes, it doesn't take long. It doesn't take much. The treatments are a little extensive. They may last up to an hour. But again, that's just because there's so much that we need to introduce in one treatment to really be successful and fast with it. But the success rate is very high, and I think one of the reasons behind it that we do take a very, very extensive interest in the background of the problem, trying to get to the bottom of the problem as deep as possible, and really target it from inside out.
Okay. Well, there you have it. There's hope if you've got frozen shoulder. One of the go-to authorities on the subject I'm talking to today, Dr. Arkady Lipnitsky. RebalanceNYC.com is the website, and very generously you have put up an ebook on the subject.
That's correct. Easy to find. You can just, there's a list of programs under the RebalanceNYC.com. If you go to the Frozen Shoulder program, that page has the book almost immediately and will give you very extensive information on what we just discussed and more. Again, there's a lot of material out there, but just putting it out from personal experience and dealing with these patients on a daily basis and specializing it. So hopefully it's going to be helpful for somebody. And for others, if you're not local, hopefully you either good luck finding somebody local who does something similar, or you're welcome to come to New York City. It's a beautiful city.
Yeah, even if you're from Costa Rica.
Oh, they fly.
or for additional fee, they can fly you down to Costa Rica with your family and, you know, on all expense paid vacation. And he'll work on you personally.
Can definitely be arranged.
That can be arranged. Okay. Thanks for joining us, Arkady. It's nice talking to you. And
thanks
for bringing us up to date. Maybe we'll pick another joint for our discussion in a future Intelligent Medicine podcast.
We'll be happy.
This is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Many of us wonder sometimes what's going on with our brains, like when we can't recall a name that should be totally familiar to us or forget why we went into the kitchen. These worries take on a little more weight as we grow older. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Brain Health Protocol, my personal supplement recommendations to slow cognitive decline and enhance memory and mental performance. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com. In addition to the Brain Health Protocol, you'll find easy-to-follow links for my Supplement Starter Kit, Heart Health Protocol, and much more. These protocols are an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the intelligent medicine lifestyle. And for a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com.